feel like I'm on a radio show.
I know. Isn't it fun?
It is.
Did
it's
you ever
like
pretend
yours.
Like you were doing this as a kid?
Oh,
like...
yeah. We used to take like a cassette tape, you know, and record yourself. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't know a kid that
interview
didn't.
Interview people and then play it back and record songs that are on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best.
Yeah.
A lot of Whitney Houston.
Oh, all right. All right. Mine was a Billy Joel.
Yes. Love Billy Joel. My sister and I set out to memorize every word to every song on his greatest hits CD at one point. So, know a lot of words on that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Gotta love Piano Man.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Girl.
I actually did that for a variety show. We did a lip sync to it.
Of Uptown Girl?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was the girl. And my friends were like in the mechanic suits doing a little dance.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I was like walking around in a little like business suit. Really funny. I wish I had that on video, but I don't.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So I wanted to talk to you today about service. So we're doing a series on our podcast about the spiritual disciplines. And one of the disciplines that we're going to cover is service. So first, I guess I just ask, what are your thoughts on spiritual disciplines? Have you heard that term before, or is that a new concept to you?
Yeah, I've heard it before. And I think it's important to lay out what those are, especially if you're not familiar with them. I know when I'm focusing on them, you know, everything always seems to kind of fall in line and just go a lot better.
When did you first start following spiritual disciplines, like intentionally? Like
probably about 5-6 years ago, when I would say I started regularly being like, okay, these are things that you actually, you know, really need to do. Like, I don't like to think of things as being rules, like, oh, you have to do this if you follow Jesus. But, you know, those are things that make him happy and that make me stronger spiritually.
Yeah. As time went on, have you found doing those activities easier in your life, or do you still find them to be difficult to, not maybe not difficult, but that you have to intentionally make yourself do it?
I think I always have to be intentional about it. Not in like, oh, I don't want to do it, but especially as my seasons of life change, kind of finding, you know, how am I going to do this in a way where it's giving back in the right way and not draining me spiritually either? You know, with having a child, that kind of switched what serving roles I was going to be in. And I have to constantly reevaluate and say, you know, where am I pushing myself spiritually in a way that is motivating to me, but that gives back and that just feels good and feels like the right fit. So that changes. So I definitely feel like I still have to be intentional about it.
So we're all different people, and we all have different strengths and weaknesses. Do you feel that you have certain strengths when it comes to spiritual disciplines, that some come easier to you than others, that you have to be a little bit more intentional on some and some come a little more easily to you?
I think prayer comes easy to me. Serving, while I love serving, I, you know, feel like I definitely need to push myself to make sure that I'm doing that. Right now, over the summer, I've kind of been on a break from having a regular role. So I have something coming up this fall that I may be doing that I'm praying about just to see if that's going to work out and be the right fit. So I think strength-wise, you know, I have to work a little bit harder on that.
So when you say take a break, you mean take a break within the service of a Sunday morning ministry context, or?
Well, yes and no. I was in a women's group all spring, and while that itself wasn't particularly serving, it's off for the summer, but I may be leading that role this coming fall. And then I used to also do a prep for a kids' club where we were getting everything together for a weekend service. And I stopped doing that in the spring once I started a nanny job. So I found that, you know, all of a sudden I don't have any of these areas where I'm pushing in and growing. So I need to find a way to step back into those, if that answers the question.
How do you see serving people within the context of a Sunday, in the context of a midweek group, as a form of worshiping God?
I think a couple of ways. One, you know, especially when you're looking at a group context, depending on who's in the group, you could be leading somebody that's brand new to Jesus or someone who doesn't know him at all. So I definitely feel like that would point back to him. And then, you know, when I'm going through a group, regardless of whether I'm leading or not, but almost more when I'm leading, I feel like it pushes me spiritually a lot, because any questions that you're using, whether it's when I'm with sixth graders or with women, you know, my age, those questions are pertinent to me too, and it causes me to ask them to myself. And just preparation for a group causes me to, you know, maybe read scripture more deeply than I might have if I was just reading it. So it pushes me, you know, in the preparation side as well.
That's what I think next week we're talking about Bible study as a discipline. So that's neat that one discipline is pushing you into exercising another discipline.
Yeah, it was one thing I kind of didn't expect, especially when I was serving with middle schoolers, how much that I would grow spiritually through being around them. And the questions that they ask are great questions, and maybe things I hadn't thought about in a long time or that I had stopped asking. But trying to sit down together and maybe not necessarily find an answer, but just talking through those things was definitely something that pushed me a lot, and I liked it.
We've been talking about how spiritual disciplines should be looked at more like a martial arts practice rather than, you know, getting the belt and disciplining somebody.
Yeah.
What are some of the hurdles or struggles that you've had to really push through to continue intentionally exercising the discipline of service?
In general, finding time and saying, you know, my life isn't so busy that I can't find time for this. It's important enough to me that I'm going to find a way to do it. And then hurdle-wise, like specifically, you know, finding childcare, if that's a question of something I need to, you know, have in order to serve.
What about spiritual or interpersonal hurdles?
I think, like, with the thing coming up this fall, the first thing that comes into my mind is, like, am I someone that can lead? Like, am I qualified to do that? Like, I don't know enough. I don't know anything. But I feel like I want to say yes to it, because just based on, you know, when I was first leading with middle schoolers, I kind of asked myself the same question, like, oh gosh, like, how can I lead young kids who are impressionable? But it worked, and God provided me with what I needed in order to be able to do it. So I'm going to pray about it and see if it's the right fit.
That's good. Why do you think service is an important spiritual discipline? Or do you? I'm assuming that you think it's an important spiritual discipline since you force yourself to intentionally engage in it.
I don't know if I force myself, but I definitely think it's important. And I think it's one of the big things that Jesus always modeled. I mean, I feel like everything he was doing was service. Just being with people, being with children, being with the poor, being with the sick. It just is a model of service to me across everything that he was doing. And the way he served the disciples in his one-on-one or group time with them, I think he's just the ultimate example. So I would say it's pretty important.
Yeah. Absolutely. A couple more questions. You're familiar with the Great Commission, right? So I was doing some study about service, and I came across the Great Commission where Jesus tells us to go to Jerusalem and Judea and the ends of the earth. And I thought to myself, wow, that is exactly the three areas we should be serving people also. I mean, I don't know how you spread the gospel without some form of service to another human being. Mm-hmm. So if Jerusalem was the church and Judea was your city and the ends of the earth were your mission trips, where do you think, what do you think is your strongest muscle, and which one needs the more exercise?
Strongest may be synonymous with most comfortable for me. I think serving within the church or Jerusalem is probably the easiest because you're already in. That people, if you're serving people that are there, for example, that you know they're already seeking something, asking some kind of question, you already have an open door to a conversation. Judea, I kind of see that as the people I hang out with that don't know Jesus. Maybe it's my running community or just people I interact with in my neighborhood is definitely a little bit more of a stretch for me. You know, how can I talk to people without being weird and pushing it on them? And I just want to be open, but don't want to be too relaxed to where I feel like I didn't, you know, reach someone or, you know, be bold in my faith. So it's just a fine line for me of finding what's bold and what's annoying. And then reaching the city, sometimes I feel like, or ends of the earth, sometimes can feel easy because it's almost like in a way you feel anonymous if you're doing something that's like on a broad scale, like serving at a massive Thanksgiving dinner in downtown Cincinnati where there's lots of homeless there. And maybe you have an opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with someone about the gospel if they happen to talk about it, or just being there with people and, you know, providing a safe place for them shows them love, which is ultimately what you're trying to do. So I would say that's probably actually easier than in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. Like personally, I struggle with a lot of anxiety, and having that opportunity to get away from my home and my everyday orbit and talk to people that will probably never be in my orbit again, like frees me of anxiety of I'm going to interact with this person and they're going to judge me for either presenting the gospel well or not presenting it well, or being a Bible thumper or being too liberal. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so freeing. I completely, completely relate to that.
Somebody told us recently, and it's, I try not to think so much about saying, okay, how am I going to tell this person the gospel? But if I get the opportunity, what's my story and how can I tell that to them clearly? And my testimony is going to be the easiest thing for them to understand, or at least be open to listening to.
Sure.
So I just try to make sure I know if I'm going to tell somebody why I'm a believer or how I became a believer, what does that story look like and how does it relate to that person?
Sure.
It kind of helps it seem easier.
And when it comes to the people, just a little, I don't know, maybe word of encouragement for you, but when it comes to people in your running group or in your neighborhood, I think, you know, you want to be a good witness for the gospel and you want to share Jesus, but I really believe that people are receptive to those things once you've broken some ground in with relational capital. You know, and the best way to break ground in relational capital is hanging out with them, finding out where they are struggling or need help, even if it's something as simple as a ride somewhere, and just being there to give it to them. Not giving them the gospel on that drive somewhere. Just be like, this is a no strings attached service I'm giving you.
Yeah. No, I like thinking about that. Sometimes I just try to remind myself of that, or, you know, if I can just be plant one small seed in someone, you know, lots of different people will hopefully build into that too.
Yeah.
So just kind of growing from there and each interaction, just seeing what can develop from that.
Yeah, that's good. So last question, if someone wanted to serve you, how could they help?
Spiritually?
Or just in general?
I feel like the biggest need that I usually have is babysitting.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Because sometimes I feel like there's more things that I would want to do, but it's hard for me to want to pay someone to babysit so I can go volunteer or do something.
Childcare.
Yeah. And there's, a little bit of, back and forth in my brain on stuff like that too, where I'm like, well, I want to build into my child too. So it's like, I don't want to be away from her too much. She is someone I'm essentially discipling too. So just finding a good balance there.
Very cool. I think you're doing a good job. She's a good kid.
Thank you.
As a stay-at-home dad, I have to agree that it's hard to find that balance and the further you get into service and ministry, the more time it can take and the more it takes away from the kids. And I definitely think that your kids have got to be the highest priority in that because I mean, we can plant seeds in everybody, but we're tending the ground with our kids. We are watering and scaling back weeds and doing everything we possibly can on a daily basis with our family. So
definitely.
I think that's good. Well, thank you for your time, Kate.
Appreciate it.
I don't know if
me.
We did an introduction. Maybe do that really quick. So today I'm sitting down with Kate. How do you say your last name?
Raleigh, like the
Kate
city.
Raleigh.
Yeah.
And we're going to discuss service within the community of God. In the church.
In the church.
All right, that's good. Something like that. That'll work. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah.